Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz on an enormous day in Philadelphia sports. Eagles Giants tonight, Phil's Dodgers tonight as well. Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer joins us in a moment. Ike, I wanted to compare these two Twitter polls for you. So Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's wants to wish our team good luck this October. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Okay, so yesterday we asked the question, do you want the Phillies to re-sign Kyle Schwarber? And the poll was 52% yes.
Okay.
Today, we asked the same question. Do you want the Phillies to re-sign Kyle Schwarber? 80% yes.
There you go. That's what two home runs will do for you.
It's so good. Absolutely. So good.
It really is the best.
Yep.
Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer joins us right now. Shiel, are you officially a believer now? Are we going to win this series?
I'm going to say yes. I wanted that Schwarber home run gave me life. You know, I went from I'm done with these guys to it ain't over yet in a matter of, 30 seconds there in the fourth inning. So, yeah, I like it. I want there to be that tense feeling in Dodger Stadium like we've had at so many Philadelphia sporting events where you're worried the worst thing's going to happen and everyone's anxious. I want that to take over Dodger Stadium, get an early lead, bring it back to Philadelphia for Saturday.
So honest answer, when Topper pulls Nola, who looked good after the second inning to go to Ranger, what was your true feeling on whether you thought it was the right move?
Oh yeah, I had texts out that said leave him in, so I'm
okay.
Not going to lie
right.
about it in the group chats. Yeah, I don't have to add, but it was. Listen, I ripped him for stuff earlier in the series. That plan with their backs against the wall worked out brilliantly. He stuck to it. So yes, I will absolutely give him credit for that.
All right.
People went from don't even think about starting Aaron Nola to you can't follow him.
Yeah, you can't think about it. You can't take him out.
Crazy. Yep, that was me.
Yep. All right, Shiel. So on to the Eagles to also play tonight. So once again, we're going to talk about the offense because it is the thing that we all have questions about. So in Sunday's game, you look at the final numbers for Jalen from a passing standpoint. They look good, and they hit a couple of long passes. He was sacked a bunch of times as well. There were some misses there as well. So when you go back and you look at that game, was there more good to take away from the passing game or more worry to take away from the passing game?
Yeah, well, for Jalen Hurts specifically, I didn't think he played very well last week. You know, I think you look at it and I feel like there were throws he could have made. You know, you mentioned it, six sacks. I think at least three of those, you look at it and go, man, he could have made a throw here, and that sack is definitely on the quarterback. And so just some stuff the last couple weeks, you know, there was some accuracy stuff the week before. I'm not saying it's all on Jalen Hurts, but yeah, I didn't think that was one of his better games, certainly of the season or really of the last couple seasons here. So I'm curious to see how he looks tonight. Now, there was other stuff too. I know you guys have spent time on the AJ Brown. If he keeps running there, we're having a different conversation. And certainly the coaching stuff comes up week after week. But I thought that game specifically was not Jalen Hurts' best game.
From a scheme standpoint, did you see anything different or interesting than they've done in previous games?
Well, yeah, I think there were a couple things. I mean, one, obviously, we know they were pass heavy, maybe a little too pass heavy. I just look at them sometimes and go, you can have a balance. You know, you don't have to come out and run it every single first and second down and run it on second and 17. You also don't have to give Saquon Barkley six carries in a game either. Like, you can find a middle ground here. So that was one, obviously. They passed the football a lot. The other one was the RPOs. Returned. You know, those run pass options have not been a big part of the offense in previous weeks this season, and they were a big part of that game plan last week. And I think it's a good option for them. I thought they executed them well. I think it's a good way to pick up 5 or 6 yards on first down there. And then they did do some good, you know, getting Saquon Barkley free for that touchdown down the right sideline. That was a nice schematic wrinkle. So there have been sprinkles of that the last couple weeks here.
This idea of playing zone against this Eagles offense, baffling them or befuddling them. I'm imagining it's a copycat league. Even teams that play a lot of heavy man like the Broncos decide to go play zone because it gives the Eagles problems. Is this a formula you think teams are just going to use against the Eagles? And if they do, like, how do the Eagles sort of combat that from an offensive standpoint to sort of get them out of the zone defenses?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. I mean, you mentioned it, Ike. The Broncos were a more of a man coverage team. Even in the first half, they were playing more man coverage, and then they changed at halftime and played more zone in the second half. We saw that the previous week as well. So to me, I don't know what you're doing if you play the Eagles, face the Eagles and come in with a man-heavy game plan. It just doesn't make sense right now with the issues they've had. So I think a few things you can do to change that. One is you run the ball better. You can force at least that safety in the box, and if you're facing zone, at least it's going to be single high zone, which is a little bit easier for Jalen Hurts to combat. The run game just hasn't been there. I think that's got to be there. I think you have to create some uncertainty with the opposing linebackers. You know, a little more play action, a little more under center play action. You want them moving in the wrong direction to create some space in the defense in the intermediate part of the field. And then the third thing I would say is Jalen Hurts has never been a fan of throwing the football in the middle of the field. You know, I think he looks at that and says, I don't want to turn the football over. The windows are a little bit tighter. I think anything he can do to turn that dial up a little bit, because that's where you have a lot of space in those zone coverages where those linebackers are not going to be the best coverage players. I think you want to take advantage of that as well. So those are some things I'm keeping an eye on, not only tonight, but in the future as well.
Yeah, the Eagles, I'm wondering if they wait until after this game tonight, Shield, they're going to have a few extra days to get ready for the Vikings, like the mini bye week. But self-scouting has to be something that they need to sort of take a look at, because they become so predictable, right? When you're in shotgun, I'm seeing everybody break down the Eagles' offense, and they're talking about the high percentages of what the Eagles do out of shotgun versus what they do being under the center, which they're rarely under the center. They seemingly have become predictable against some of these defenses. And I'm just wondering, like, when will they do the whole self-scouting thing and switch some of that up as well and start making themselves a little bit uncomfortable by doing things they may not be familiar with, like playing from under center, incorporating a little bit more play action, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the mini bye and the regular bye is usually when we've seen, even with this coaching staff in the past, that's when they've kind of changed things up. And to be clear, it's not, hey, we're installing a brand new offense like that. That time has passed. It's more turning the dial up on some of the things you mentioned. I mean, we were at training camp and you would see them running under center play action. So it's in the playbook. They've had reps doing it. I don't think they like doing it. I don't think they've been very good doing it. So now it's a matter of, all right, how do we fix that with the run game? Again, I would say that's probably going to be their biggest focus after this game. How do we get this run game going? And I think they can run the ball against this Giants team, by the way, but whether that's, hey, different types of runs, whether that's getting Jalen Hurts more involved, because you just see it week after week, it flashes here and there, but it's not close to the weapon it was in previous seasons, specifically last season. So I think that's probably going to be their main focus with the injuries on the offensive line with the tight ends not necessarily doing a very good job in run blocking. All right, what are some things we can do schematically to come up with answers there? I think you will see that after this game starting next week at Minnesota.
Well, you mentioned Jalen's lack of throwing over the middle of the field, sort of a discomfort in doing that, or he chooses not to do it. I think you have to think the same thing when you're talking about mixing up what you're doing out of different formations if he's not comfortable passing out under center. So if he's not, it gets difficult, right? Because you don't want to not use it at all. But I wonder if they're even if he's never going to throw it right in a game under center, then why even be under center ever? Because you're basically signaling to the other team what you're going to do when you do it. You almost wonder whether you should throw it out completely if you can't mix it up what you're doing when you're in that formation.
It's fair, and it's a good point, Spike, because it's not like they've had different offensive coordinators. And, you know, I'm sure Kellen Moore would have liked to sprinkle some more of that in. I'm sure even now maybe they would have liked to sprinkle more of that in. So there's always that push and pull between kind of what the coaches think can work, what the quarterback prefers, and then finding that balance. You know, can you get through to them that, hey, you can do that. We want you to make those throws in the middle of the field. Don't worry about it. Or are you like, hey, we win a lot of games the way we're playing right now, and if that is the case, then I think the run pass options have to become even a bigger part of the offense, because you run those from shotgun. It's still the same idea, creating some uncertainty with those linebackers, putting them in conflict and creating space in the defense that way. So you're right. I mean, if they're at the point where they're like, man, we tried this in training camp, we call it in games, it's a disaster, maybe we just move away from it because, you know, it's kind of a lost cause right now. Those are all things that they have to balance right now.
And last thing on that, even the RPO, when we're talking about pass heavy, run heavy, it is the quarterback making that decision at that point, what he's going to do. And if we end up pass heavy in that situation, he must be seeing something that leads him to believe that that is the right thing to do. It's clearly not only him, it's a coordinator as well. But there's it's so hard to figure it out because there's so many different factors that go into it. So Eagles, Giants tonight. Giants are not a good football team, though they do have some good players on defense. Is there anything from an Eagles perspective that you would be worried about? Giants aren't a good team, but is there something that they do that you think could give the Eagles trouble tonight?
I have a hard time seeing the Giants offense having a really good game. I think it would have to just be Jackson Dart scrambling around and some of those Baker Mayfield throws we saw a couple weeks ago with him making plays out of structure. That's kind of what it has to be. They don't have the players on offense to just kind of down-to-down beat the Eagles defense, in my opinion. On the other side of the ball, the thing that would give me concern for the Eagles is just their pass rush. They've got talent up front. And what we've seen is teams say, hey, we don't need to necessarily blitz Jalen Hurts. We can just rush with four, or hey, we can send a slot corner at him and we can drop a defensive end. So we're still rushing four, but they can't sort it out and figure out which four are coming after us. So that's the type of thing where if this thing gets ugly, I think it's one of those games where you say, man, he's holding on to the football. He doesn't have answers. They're taking a lot of sacks. I don't necessarily think that's what's going to happen, but I think probably when they were game planning for this matchup, that was probably at the top of their list.
Now, speaking of what you think's going to happen, let's go to our official scorekeeper here. Jack, what is Shields' record in picking Eagles games this year so far?
That's a crisp 1-4.
Oof, Shield.
Crisp.
Listen, it's been...
Pick the Dodgers tonight.
Season.
I don't care about the Eagles. Pick the Dodgers. Pick the Dodgers.
I know. Listen, we had a players-only meeting this week. We're regrouping. We're self-scouting. We're trying to figure out why has this season been such a disaster for me, not only picking Eagles games, picking NFL games in general. And I think we found a nice little kumbaya moment where we're going to be okay. So I look at this game, and I'm not going to overthink it. The Eagles are more talented across the board, except for maybe the Giants' defensive line. I think you can run the football on the Giants. I think Saquon Barkley has a big breakout game, runs for 150 yards. I think the vibes of this Eagles team are going to be better going into the mini bye. I like Eagles 30, Giants 13. Eagles run away with this thing in the fourth quarter.
Wow, 30 points.
I like it.
Yeah, how many punts are we blocking for touchdowns?
Yeah,
before scoring 30.
At least get one, right? Okay, they can count on almost one a week. So, yeah.
It's got a big Saquon night tonight.
Hopefully. You know, I would love to see our first big Saquon game
yes,
of the year.
Yes, we need actually. It, yes.
All right, Shiel, thank you as always. Big night tonight in Philly. I'm sure you'll have the two screens going. Well, three screens, of course, for Flyers-Panthers as well.
There you go. The TVs are on the wall right in front of me, so I'll be ready.
All right. Thanks, Gio.
All right, Gio.
See you guys.
So the Phillies starting lineup is out for tonight. There was only one big question I had, which is, I think, probably the same question most have. So here is the starting lineup. Trey Turner leads off, playing shortstop. Kyle Schwarber, DH, second. Bryce Harper at first, hitting third. Boehm still in the cleanup spot. Marsh in center field, hitting fifth. JT Realmuto hitting sixth. Max Kepler in left field, hitting seventh. Castellanos hitting eighth and right. And Stotter on second. Stotter at second base, hitting ninth. I was hoping we would see the five-letter word we wanted to see in the starting lineup,
Bader.
And that is Bader. He's just not there, you know. But I would have to imagine he is available to pinch hit as well. They said last night that he maybe could run the bases. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he could run the bases and not play center field.
Theoretically, it's more running.
Yeah, you know,
it's playing center field.
Yeah, if you're worried about one, you're worried about the other. But at least he could pinch hit. Jack, only other question I have here is, has Max Kepler played any center field? Are they better with Kepler in center and Marsh in left or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He still doesn't have the range that Marsh has. I know Marsh doesn't get good reads and he's definitely not Bader out there, but Kepler's more like can get the balls and we'll make the play.
And Marsh has a better arm than Kepler does too, which I think you need as well. All right. So that is your starting lineup for tonight. Turner, Schwarber, Harper, Boehm, Marsh, Realmuto, Kepler, Castellanos, Stott, and on the mound, Christopher Sanchez.
Semi-big news. So the Dodgers had to place Tanner Scott on personal leave.
Really?
Yeah. So he's not on the roster anymore.
Really?
Because last night he wasn't available because he wasn't at the stadium for personal reasons.
Okay.
And they just made a roster decision. They brought up another lefty instead of Tanner Scott.
Well,
so
how about Dave Roberts saying... It'll come out.
Oh,
like,
is that what
he said? The reason why.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear him say that.
I'm like, what?
That sounds not super positive.
Like, I was like, what? I thought maybe like
something
somebody's
bad.
Having a baby.
Somebody have a
baby.
Well, I
thought
somebody
when he said
passed.
Personal reason, that was my initial thought. And then when he said it'll come out, I'm like, I don't know. You just leave that out there?
Yeah.
Sounds like not happy with him.
Yeah.
It'll come out. I'm not happy with the guy.
Yeah.
JT, we haven't talked about too much. JT had a good regular season, I think, you know, highlighted by his run right in the middle there where he was one of their best hitters.
Like June.
Yeah, did not finish the season strong at all. They mentioned on the broadcast last night, and I think it might have some validity, is him having the 5 days off maybe helped him. You know, he catches a lot of games, especially at his age.
Yeah.
Maybe him getting those 5 days off, because he's looked, it's not just the hits. He looks locked in. He looks locked in from a, you know, from a taking pitches standpoint. He looks like he has a really good sense of where the strike zone is right now. And he's hitting balls hard. It's not just that he's getting hits. He's hitting balls hard.
And using the whole field.
And the triple in game one went the other way. Ground rule double yesterday. But the home run he pulled yesterday. So JT's been enormous.
Yeah.
Absolutely enormous.
Yeah. I mean, Boehm's been good enough. In the four hole? Because I was thinking, like, just switch those two.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
With how good Real Muto is, and put Bone down to six. But Bones, I'm just saying Bones can find. Yeah, but I saw you gearing up.
Wow.
Yeah, you started getting your back up. Like, oh, here we go. Nola had one big two innings, and now
you put
Mr.
Him in
Baseball
the corner on the Chase Utley thing, and now he's coming after you. And now he's on the defense.
I didn't even say anything. You know?
He's just waiting. He's in the corner.
Yeah.
He's got. He's,
I was like, yeah, I didn't even say anything, man.
He's looking behind him. Yeah. You know. Head on the swivel back there.
Go ahead, man.
It's a game day.
What were you?
Well, I was just going to say, I was going to go back to Elliot yesterday.
No.
And his nonsense about blowing a team up and starting over. I'm watching this team last night. And I'm saying to myself,
what are you talking about?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You're
running
blowing back. This team up?
Yeah. He is too. He wants them to choke.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Fritz. I was thinking about how good I felt about the team last night. And I'm saying to myself, this is a good baseball team, man.
He's just too eager to call them chokers. He is too eager to say they do not perform in high-leverage situations where too many of them have performed well in high-leverage situations. They didn't last year.
Sure.
And yes, game 6 and 7 against the Diamondbacks, but you can't. People do this with Donovan all the time by saying that Donovan wasn't good in big games, ignoring all of the games that it took to get to the games that they lost. The games that you lose are not the only big games. There are big games to get there. The Phillies were in the World Series in 2022. They were in Game 7 of the LCS in 2023. They won big games to get there. We all know what the issues with the team are,
right?
But calling them chokers and saying they don't win big games and those that sort of thing, that part doesn't add up to me. I think there are issues with the team. I think they're a bad fundamental team. They don't always have great at bats, all of those sorts of things. But to say that they don't rise to the moment, I think is sort of whittling all of this stuff down to one point. And I don't know that it totally adds up.
I just hope that last night was the get your mojo back kind of game.
I hope so too.
Like, I agree.
It didn't feel now. The last time it kind of felt like this was when they won game two against the Mets last year.
Yeah. This feels different than that game though.
Because that game was a lot of uphill climbing.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, where you had to come back, and then they blew the lead, and then Stock gets the triple, and then Castro.
Yeah.
Like, last night was...
They were putting the pressure on the Dodgers all night last night.
I gotta be honest with you.
Yeah.
This is what I felt. And maybe it's being a prisoner of the moment. I felt more like, finally.
Yes.
Finally.
Yeah.
Like...
The team that you know.
Yeah, this is the team. Like, you guys are just as good as... I know that team has the names. I know they just won the World Series. But... Through three games, you've outscored them in runs. You could have very easily won one of those two games here at home or both games at home. And that was the most clear defeat in the three-game series so far. And it was you dominating them in their building.
Yes.
You can play with this team. Like, you can play with this team, man.
Dude,
absolutely.
The Tanner Scott thing, that's a big deal. I mean, he's someone at the back end of the game against these lefties. If they do get a lead, they can.
He may not be available.
Well, he's not. He's off the roster.
Not even on the roster.
Oh, he's not even on the roster. Yeah.
Like, that's a big swing. I mean, Sasaki knows their closer. Scott had been their closer. He's had pretty good numbers against the Phillies. He throws 100 from the left side. I mean, they've struggled with that, and now he's not on the team.
I think if there's one, they're both really good rosters. If there's one part where I think the Dodgers are better, It is that middle part of the hitters. I think our top guys are just as good as their top guys. I think our bottom guys are just as good as their bottom guys. It's those.
They definitely have some advantages.
Yeah. It's the Teoscars and Paez's and Will Smith's and Muncy. Those guys are, I think, a level up on our middle guys. But overall, you're right. This team is good enough
it's
to win these games.
It's not as big of a discrepancy as it seems.
No.
It's really.
No.
And last night I felt more like, man, finally y'all playing like y'all belong here, like you belong in this series.
And I hope they don't go in tonight just thinking that, okay, we're on a roll now. Now it's going to be easy. Every
same approach, right? Use the same approach.
These games are all going to be hard. Every game in this series is going to be hard. You're going to have to approach every at-bat with the same sort of precision that you did last night. You're going to have to think about all of it. That doesn't mean to say you should be stressed about it. It's just that this team sort of waxes and like goes back and forth between, oh, everything's great and it's easy, or we can't do anything. You can't just expect to score 8 runs again. That happened because you guys kept putting pressure on, and it didn't even work every time.
And I'll tell you, going out there, I think the tone and mindset was set when they left here Monday. You know, hearing them after the game Monday night, you know, Bryce saying it's the first of 3, the series isn't over. Trey Turner pretty much saying the same thing. We're going to go out here, play our game. We're going to relax. We're going to have fun. We know we got a game. You got to win one. They had the mindset of winning one. When they went to New York last year, it didn't feel that way. It didn't feel that
no,
way.
No. Yeah.
Right? Didn't one of the games Bohm get benched in?
Game two.
Yeah. So the team had a different feeling around it.
Yeah.
Than this team has around.
They still think they're a really good team.
Yes.
Last year, I think they were like, this feels off.
Even Bohm looks pretty loose out there last night.
Man, he looks like a starting third baseman.
There he is.
I want to get rid of the guy.
Would never.
215-592-9494. Phil's tonight, first pitch, 6:08. Eagles tonight.
Now, I know when I'm chesty about baseball.
Yeah, about Bohm. Yeah.
By the way, so Terrence got a lower body abscess removal procedure.
Well, there it is.
What is that?
He said it was coming out. It would come out.
Doesn't sound like it was his fault, the way that Dave Roberts made it.
Dave Roberts was like, this guy was out in the town.
Yeah. They had to explain to Dave Roberts what an abscess was.
What is an abscess?
He probably meant absent. He was just absent.
Yeah, it's like a thing.
I figured you would know if anyone.
Like a cyst?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a cyst.
Okay, we'll see.
Look at Dr. Eichel.
Yeah, never a doubt. This guy's one Liz Frank, and now he's...
Yeah, by the way, wait till we start getting the tweets. An abscess is nothing like a cyst.
Well,
all I needed was for me to say, that's what it is.
That's all I needed.
I just said I don't know what it is.
Well, you actually do play a doctor on the show because of the Sixers. You know all.
That's right, yes.
We've never dealt with an abscess. If you want to ask me about a meniscus or a sesame injury, I can help you with both.
And thoracic outlet syndrome.
Yes, and thoracic outlet syndrome
that
as
one.
Well. 215-592-9494. So Phil's 6:08 first pitch. The Eagles also play the Giants tonight. Eagles will be on WIP. Pregame will start at 6. The Phil's game, if you want to hear it, 103.9 KYW News Radio and 1210 WPHT, while the Eagles are on WIP. Coming up next, game day forecast, a special Thursday appearance from Tornado Shapiro. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Phil's still alive. Hopefully, we get to play that song again tomorrow. Oh, the Dodgers are going to be shaking. We win this game tonight. Don't let us win this game tonight.
That's the song we played yesterday?
Yes.
Hell
okay,
yeah.
So that's Pearl Jam.
Same one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Same
I just
one.
Want to
yeah.
make sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah there you go.
Sure.
Not Creed. Not Creed. There is an Eagles game tonight, which does mean we have to bring in the world's most trusted and accurate forecaster. That is Tornado Shapiro. What's up, buddy?
Hey, fella. Don't call it a comeback. Mama said knock you out. We're bi-coastal tonight. Phillies, Dodgers, six, and then it's up the turnpike for the New York football, the Giants. We need two victories tonight.
I missed that.
Music, please.
I missed that.
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
Damn it.
Phillies, finally some production from the big three. Yeah, I had a big three one afternoon out in West Hollywood. It was Daisy, Rosie, and Lily. They all blossomed at the same time, too. All they needed was a little L.A. sunshine. They open up right up for you. 3 p.m. start today. Afternoon delight. 72 degrees at game time. Last time I was in L.A., it was me, Ike, Snoop Dogg, and Fernando Valenzuela. Snoop Dogg starts choking on a Dodger dog. David Hasselhoff comes running in, and he does the Heimlich. He saves Snoop Dogg's life. Now Snoop is loving the Hoff. He takes him out to a karaoke bar, and Snoop and the Hoff are singing Gin and Juice in German. Ike still can't watch Baywatch without thinking of that night.
That true, Ike?
That is true. That is true.
Yeah, I knew he'd remember it. He was sitting right next to Gary Busey. He was freaking out.
Wow, what a night.
15 tonight. Yeah, we start checking in with the old Eagles up in the Meadowlands. I worked at Superstation WWOR-TV, Secaucus, with a girl by the name of Ashley Swampanella. We called her Swamp Ash.
Cheap one. Cheap one.
We used to carpool in up the Jersey Turnpike. She let me enter at her boken, and I
what?
Caucus, hello.
This one's a lot today. Keep going.
So we were out one night with Swamp Ash at the Stancorn over in West Weatherford. It was me, Ike, Lawrence Taylor, Jeremy Shockey, and Jason Pierre-Paul. You know JPP. He's got those mangled fingers there.
Yeah, he had a fireworks accident about a decade ago where he lost his thumb and his middle finger on his right hand.
Yeah, Jeremy Shockey calls JPP the Shaka.
Oh, yeah.
So,
So I ordered LT a Diet Coke, and JPP orders the chicken fingers. Shaqie starts teasing because he's struggling to pick up the chicken. JPP can't even flip him the bird. He's getting barbecue sauce all over his fingers. He's trying to clean up. He had two in the drink and one in the sink.
Okay.
All like temperature.
Three hellos.
Light breeze.
He's just asking. He's asking for the laugh with the hellos. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tornado.
So one night we were up the road a little bit up at Bada Bing in Lodi, New Jersey. It was me, Ike, Holy Walnuts, Tony, and Tiki Barber. Tiki starts bad mouthing you, Spike. But Ike and I had your back. We look up and we see Plaxico Burress walking into the club with his sweatpants. And his gun falls out. He also had a firearm.
Okay.
Let's go. Chance of thunderstorms coming up later this week. If you're in, you're coming in from Manhattan, stay away from that Lincoln Tunnel. It reminds me of a traffic girl we had, Tina from Tenafly. She fell asleep in my car. I was stuck in that tunnel all night. Come on.
Finish the forecast. Forecast. And
hello.
And forecast.
Hello.
Yes, I got
Flyers
it.
Flyers in Florida tonight. Game time 7 p.m. Zero chance of precip. Philly, 6 p.m. tonight. Man. 3 p.m. Pacific. Sunny, 72 degrees in L.A. I'll give it a 50-50 shot of Johan Duran in the eighth inning. Eagles in East Rutherford. It's Cougar night. Clear, cool, and in the mid-40s. Come on. You can check out all the stations. You're not getting this kind of insight anywhere else on the dial. It's Tornado Shapiro. Outro music, please.
He might deserve outro music for that one.
Oh, my God.
He might deserve outro music. I love that he leaves with Cougar Night clearing in the mid-40s. Get it? Hello. The hellos were sprinkled all over.
Oh, man, he's feeling himself.
Yeah. This might have been the worst one for me. Man.
Yeah, yeah, you were dying.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Okay. 215-592-9494.
I was a lot of different places with him.
Yeah, you were.
Every week.
Yeah. You never told us any of these stories. We were on the show with you 4 hours every day. It takes Tornado. Say you were out with Jeremy Shockey and Jason Pierre-Paul and LP, all that stuff.
Dude. JPP with the three fingers, man. I didn't know where it was going with none of that stuff, man.
Couldn't pick up the chicken fingers. Okay. To get back to the Phils, some feel-good stuff here before we get back to the phones. Who did the montage here?
Oh, man.
Okay.
Someone in the morning show.
I need a break here.
Somebody from the morning show put together this great montage of the great moments from the game last night. Here it is.
The Phillies in an 0-2 hole headed on the road. It's only about winning one game tonight. Scoreless, bottom of the first, Mookie Betts. Second man up here against Nola. The windup. And again, the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, a little liner into center. Coming on Marsh towards left center. Right center, and he dives, and he can't get it. It goes by him and goes to the wall. Betts off to the races. He'll round second. He's heading for third, and he's in there with a triple. It was out of the reach of Brandon Marsh, and a full-out dive. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Fastball got him. And for Nola, that's strikeout number 3 through the first couple of innings. A 1-2-3 second, and it's on to the third at Dodger Stadium. Still scoreless. And the first pitch from Rangers swung on, hit in the air, deep left field. Kepler is back, looking up, and that is gone. 1-0 Dodgers. The first pitch thrown by Ranger Suarez. Tommy Edman hits it out.
He's from the right side. That ball's crushed. Deep to right field. Hernandez doesn't even move. It is long gone. It's off the roof of the pavilion in right field. Kyle Schwarber, his first postseason home run of the year. The Phillies tie it up at 1. Swing and a line drive back toward the middle, spinning into center field, a base hit. Harper's going around second, heading to third. Pajes his throw. It's off the glove of Muncy, and it goes into the Dodgers' dugout. Harper will score. Boehm will go to third, and the Phillies have taken the lead. It's 2-1. The pitch hit in the air to left field. It's hit pretty deep. Hernandez going back. He's under it, tagging at third is Boehm. Sacrifice fly for Brandon Marsh. And the Phillies now lead it 3-1.
The pitch. Swung on, hit high in the air, left field. It's deep. Kepler is back at the track, at the wall. He makes the catch in front of the scoreboard. A 1-2-3 seventh inning, and what a performance for Ranger Suarez tonight. And it's swung on, hit in the air, left field, deep. Going back to new center fielder, Dean. He's looking up, and it is gone. And JT has hit one out to left center. And the Phillies with a 4-1 lead here at the top of the eighth inning as Real Muto hammers the pitch from Clayton Kershaw. Swung on, little bloop into right center field. It's a base hit. One run will score. Castellanos coming around third. He'll score as well. It's a two-run single for Turner. And it's a three-run eighth inning for the Phillies, who now lead it 6-1. Now Kyle Schwarber. And he swings and hits one high in the air to right. It's pretty deep. Hernandez back at the track, at the wall. It's gone! It clears! And it's a two-run home run for Kyle Schwarber. And a two-homer night here in Game 3.
Let's go!
Here's Ohtani against Banks. And the first pitch is popped up. Shallow right. Coming on is Castellanos. He's waiting. And the ball game is over as Castellanos makes the grab. Ohtani makes the final out. And there will be one more game for the Phillies at least as they beat the Dodgers tonight in Los Angeles, an 8-2 final.
All right, Ike, Spike, and Fritz here with you now. A couple things I want to talk about. Did anyone else get nervous when when the first run came in? Yeah, I got a little shaky. Yeah, I know it was 8-1.
Yeah.
But I started doing the math.
Yeah, you start counting out.
Yeah. When Ohtani comes up, I'm saying, okay, well, even if Banks gives up a three-run homer here, it's still 8-5. I got a little nervous. Wanted to talk about the top of the lineup and that fourth inning that happened after Schwarber's home run. Because up until that point, it felt like the same Phillies, really, up until that point, up until Schwarber's home run. And then just the dam breaks after Schwarber hits that. And I want to watch those at-bats again because it looked like they all had the same mission up there. Do not swing at the breaking balls because he can't throw the breaking balls for strikes. That's exactly what it seemed like. It seemed like as soon as it was breaking, nobody swung at breaking balls. They just waited for that fastball, and they're all on top of the fastball. Harper, same thing. It was all of that. And it looked like Yamamoto got shaken when they started hitting him. It didn't look like he was handling that well because it looked like he didn't have an answer. He didn't know how to get it. Like they had figured him out in that inning. It was a great inning, man.
Yeah, I could never tell when we are just fortunate to get the bat on the ball versus there's a plan there and we're going through pitches. Like, until you just said that it looked like they were just all laying off the off-speed pitches and waiting on fastballs. Like, just me with my eye, I can't see that while I'm just watching the game.
You're a right? C-ball hit ball guy.
Yeah. Like, well,
did you see that? Am I crazy? Did you see that as well?
Well, it makes sense, though.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were trying to hunt the fastball. I mean, they did that in the first inning. It just didn't go the way they wanted to. Like, they came out trying to be as aggressive as they could, you know, because I think he probably has tells of using his fastball early in counts.
So let me ask you this. When Schwarber and Bryce in those first two games are getting fastballs, and they're just swinging and missing them. Like, what do you think the difference is in what they're seeing now or they saw with Yamamoto versus what they saw against Snell and Ohtani?
Well, so the book on Yamamoto, even like back to last year, is his fastball, the numbers against it are okay, but that's because he hides it well. And by hiding it well, I mean like he sneaks it in there. It's not his primary pitches. Like, he uses it to catch you off guard in a way.
Sets you up with the other pitches.
Yeah, like, it's a pretty flat pitch that hitters last year were all over, and this year he had a better split, he had a better off speed, so I think that changed things. Snell's just pretty nasty. I mean, like, I think Snell's better than Yamamoto. And maybe I think that's just I think those guys have harder fastballs to square up than Yamamoto does.
Especially from a left-hander.
Well, yeah, 100%. But even Shohei, like, Shohei has a better fastball than Yamamoto. I think it's just a harder pitch to square up.
Okay.
It even seemed not that just they were missing fastballs against Snell, they were taking fastballs against Snell.
Right.
Almost like they had no the battle between the hitter and the pitcher is always so interesting to me because a lot of it is guessing, you know, and the good hitters, I always like when I see, you know, JT does this a lot, Stott does it a lot, Cass even did it a couple times last night, is when guys see a pitch that they know is a strike, but will foul it off because it wasn't the pitch they were expecting.
They wanted, yeah.
So you're really just sort of trying to guess, trying to out-chess the guy and try to guess what he's going to throw. When I like the fourth inning because it seemed like they guessed the rhythm. Like they, he was unable to break the rhythm, especially because he was having trouble throwing the breaking ball for strikes. And when you can't throw the breaking ball for strikes, they just have to sit there and sit on the fastball. If it's not a fastball, don't swing at it.
Yeah.
You know, it was great, man.
But getting on top of the fastball is big if they found a good way to do that from the top three, because Glasnow's the same way. Okay. Glasnow's got the rise fastball to him a little bit. And if they can get on top of it, they could do damage against Glasnow. Like, the nice part about the shadows tonight is it actually might work in the Phillies' favor. Game starts at 3.
This is one of those shadow games.
It's a 3 o'clock start.
3 o'clock start.
I know.
Man.
But it could work in the Phillies' favor because, like, with Sanchez, he's a fastball changeup guy. So the changeup out of hand looks just like the fastball. If there's extra added shadows, it could be a harder pitch for them to pick up. So they might actually have the advantage heading into a shadow game.
I was so disappointed when they pulled Yamamoto. When he gave up that final hit, I said, oh, this is it. That's done. Because who did the guy that came in? Who was the reliever came in, the lefty that came in? It was a journeyman.
Well, they had the was that Dreyer when they went to Dreyer?
No.
It was mid-inning.
They went to somebody else before Dreyer. Because he had... I think two men on, no one out when he came.
Oh, Bonda.
Bonda. Yeah. As soon as they brought him up, I was like, ah, man. Because then they got whatever they had going was gone, you know. And they had other chances, and they missed out on those other chances. And thank God, was it the eighth inning that they broke it open with Kershaw or the seventh inning? Can't even remember. Seventh inning, right?
Seventh inning.
Eighth.
It was eighth?
Yeah.
All right. Go on, Jack.
Whatever.
All right. 215.
I didn't even see it.
Late.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just looking at the box score.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Ryan and Mount Laurel, you're on WIP. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, Spike? Ike, Fritzy. What's going on, guys?
What's up, brother?
What up, Ryan?
We're live.
We're live, right? I'm not going to be like Andy. We're not live. We're not hot.
No, not live. Alive. Alive. Yeah, no, no.
Alive and hot. Let me tell you something. Those balls were juice. Ike, give me some of that Ike juice. Fritzy, where you at?
They must have been drinking that Ike juice. Ike juice, Ike
juice. Let's get it, baby.
Yeah.
It's one game down right there. You know, it's a game of five game series here. You know, three to win the whole thing. But let's be honest, right? What they did last night, they had control at the plate. All right, they're not swinging that crap. You know, this is what it takes to win. Get the pitch count up. Get to their bullpen. It's easier said than done. But when you get out there, this is their destiny, all right? And it's been 3 years, 4 years. We've gone through heartache, pain, suffering. But guess what? That's life. Sports is life. And they're on the main stage. So now they got to show us who they truly are. They control their destiny. This is not just given to you. You got to fight for every pitch. You got to take what's yours, all right? You've earned this. Enough talk. It's time to win this series and win the World Series. I'm tired of this because we come around here, we talk all this big stuff about, you know, what they need to do differently. They did it last night. You know, rinse, wash, repeat. Keep it simple. Like, you played sports.
Yeah.
Fritz, you pitched in college, right?
He's great. Played sports. Isn't wash, rinse?
Yeah.
Rinse is after wash. I'm sorry.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, my friend. But here's the thing. You get that chill down your spine. What do you think about, like, when you get that? What gives you motivation when you played?
It's been so long, I don't know. There was a part of me at that time that wanted to inflict pain on people. So, yeah, that was – I did want to go out there and inflict pain on people.
That's good enough. That's good for me. All right.
Yeah.
What these guys do, you know, football is a little different than baseball.
Yeah, a little different.
They dig down deep. A little different, a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But you got to dig down deep and find that. Get that chill down your spine and don't think about 10 steps ahead.
Yeah.
Think about every pitch. Think about the next step. One task at a time. Get that chill down your spine because that is when you tap into that instinctual side.
Dude,
the natural gift you were born with, and it's to hit the ball.
Yeah,
all right?
Dude, they,
enough thinking about the next series. Think about the pitch.
He's locked in.
Dude,
They just got to win tonight. They just got to win one game. You can only win. They can only win tonight. They can win one baseball game. You know, they've won 97 baseball games this year. They know how to win baseball games. They have to go in tonight and win one baseball game. And I can tell you, as excited as people are today. Mm-hmm. If they win this game tonight, this is going to be the wave of belief and excitement going into that game five.
Oh, yeah.
And a reminder, and thank you for the call, Ryan, a reminder to everyone that's at Phillies in five, you have to lose two games to get to to get to five.
Yep.
You know, the five-game series, you win it 3-2, that means you lose two games. So, all right, so the losses are out of the way. Yep. You know, win tonight. Just win tonight. You got your best pitcher on the mound. You have a pitcher going for the Dodgers that you can hit, you know, who will throw balls, you know. I love when I see a 9-10 pitch at bat. Yeah. I start watching pitch count. I love watching the pitch count. You know, make them work for it. Make them work for it.
Yeah.
Whew. So it's not the only game tonight. So Phil's game will be on KYW News Radio 103.9 and WPHT. Phil's will be, or the Eagles rather, will be here on WIP Eagles Giants. We will break down Eagles Giants next with the great Mike Mayock. See if Mike has any answers for the offense. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last, so don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.